This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Pushed away from your homeland. He said it's a travel adventure. My nephew re-added. It's a travel adventure. وَقَبْلُهُ شَهَادَ. If you kill him, that's really bad on the surface. But it's martyrdom. وَقَبْلُهُ شَهَادَ. وَفِي الْجَنَّةِ لَهُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. And in the afterlife, the good, which is Jannah وَزِيَادَةً, which is the ru'ya, the beatific vision. That's a pretty good deal. So on the surface, these things, they all look bad. But beneath the surface, for the believer, they're all good. They're all good. So we should always look at how is this reflect in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it make it stronger? I was with some of the Assyrians earlier. May Allah protect all the Assyrians and the Egyptians and everyone, the Libyans and Tunisians and Somalians and Sudanese and Americans. People forget, it's like, you know, hey, you never know. But they were saying, you know, it's really bad. It's bad in Syria, no doubt. But a friend of mine came from Syria recently and was saying how in Homs, a lot of the people who were walking with the girls with no hijab and the guys holding the hands of the girls with no hijab, now they're all in the masjid. Said the people's faith has increased exponentially. The fears they had are gone, and the laxity in the religion is gone, and how the faith of the people. So we look at the tribulation, and indeed it's a difficult situation that we wouldn't wish on anyone. But there's a consequence of that, and that consequence is what is laying or paving the way for the future good. There are many people look at Turkey today and see an Islamic revival, unbelievable. And all that layers and layers of deep, even beyond secularism, laicism. Secularism, the state doesn't interfere in religion. Laicism, the state tries to eradicate religion, takes an active role in the eradication of religion. This is what happened in Turkey, but there were people who were struggling. When I lived in Turkey, actually, 2.5 years. And after 30 years, I was able to go back the past summer and visit people I hadn't seen for 30 years. I was a new Muslim living amongst them. But in any case, a friend of mine, his father, he's a hafiz of Qur'an. His father memorized Qur'an because it was illegal. Even to study Arabic at one time. Well, it must have been a crime because they were calling the adhan in Turkish. Like, Salat Gelecek. Anyway. They had to post guards at the windows of the masjid, the carpet rolled back, the planks like the stage opened up, and when the guards saw the police coming, they would alert them, they'd take the mushaf, put it in the board, cover the board over, roll the rug over it, and then sit like they're having a conversation. That's how they memorized Quran. Some of the people, they had to have dars, their lessons of knowledge. The only way they could do it without being suspected, because they couldn't sit in the masjid for a lesson of knowledge. They rode the train from Izmir to Ankara and had the lesson on the train. In the car of the train. That's how knowledge was preserved. And there were great, great scholars and great people who sacrificed through all that darkness. And now, after their death, decades after they passed, now you see a flourishing of Islam. But the hardship that they endured, and they're holding on in those difficult times, those were the seeds that were planted and that are bringing about this good. So it's all how we look at things. It's all in how we look at things. We mentioned in the Jummah, we just continue that. We mentioned the verse where Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ دَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala, He mentions, if some difficulty has afflicted you, then your adversaries have been similarly afflicted. So don't think weakness is just for the Muslims. There were times when people who weren't Muslim were weak. Muslims were strong. Don't think that military defeat is something unique to Muslims. There was a time when Muslims were winning battles, and those who weren't Muslims were losing. Don't think hardship, impotence, all of these things that Muslims generally, as an ummah, are experiencing are unique to Muslims and Islam. Allah Ta'ala says, فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهُمْ مِثْلُهُ. Just as the Muslims had Uhud, the Kuffar had Badr. Just as the Muslims had Badr, the Kuffar had Uhud. So, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ دَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These fortunes we alternate between the people. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In order that Allah will show which of you truly believes. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. And take martyrs from your ranks. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah doesn't love oppressors. So we talked about this a little at Jumu'ah, so we'll leave that. But then he says, وَلْيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. In order that through these trials and tribulations, Allah will purify the ranks of the believers. So the trial, the tribulation, the hardship, the difficulty, the hard times, on the surface, it might look like it's something bad, but it's a purification. Tamhis is how the gold is separated from the slag. If you have gold today, make sure it's recycled gold. Seriously, recycled gold is gold that was mined 100 years ago in one form, and they melt it down and make it into a ring or something. Because now, you don't want to buy gold. You know how gold is mined? They take, here in California, the method of choice, you take the gold ore and you run mercury over it, and the mercury extracts the gold from the ore. But it left tons and tons and tons of mercury contaminated streams or slag that washes in the stream. To this day, you have mercury contaminated water running out of the Sierra Nevadas. In South Africa, where most of the gold comes from, to produce a ring, which is a fraction of an ounce, a wedding band of gold, these 20 tons of cyanide poison slag that's either left there on the land or dumped in the ocean. Because they'll take a mountain of gold the size of this room, and they'll drench it with cyanide, and the cyanide extracts the gold into collecting pools, and then they separate the gold and they leave the cyanide, the poison residue, just there in the land. That's how you get gold. So anyway, that's the story of stuff. That's a whole other topic. I lost my focus. I told you I was pulled in off the street. You have to bear with me. Before the gold tender.
وَلَيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا.
Now, yeah, so you burn, one way to get the gold out is to burn it off. This is the tamhis. So you burn the ore, and it separates the pure gold from the slag. And so Allah says, this is what He does to the believers through trial and tribulation. He gets the gold out. He gets the gold out. So that which is pure is left. And that which is pure, that which takes the struggle forth. And Muslims are involved in a struggle. And a struggle is not easy. If you're looking for an easy religion and you're serious about it, you know, don't take Islam. Because it's work, and it's serious, and it's sacrifice, and it's effort, and it's struggle. It's struggle. That's why over and over in the Quran, jihad is struggle. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْجِهَادِ. Struggle in the way of Allah, as should rightfully be the case. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you believers, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Shall I direct you to a commerce that will save you from a painful punishment? A painful punishment. مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And struggle in the way of Allah. بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That's best for you if you but knew. And so over and over in the Quran, Allah is telling us, this is a struggle. The man came to the Prophet ﷺ, said, I want to follow you. What did he tell him? Then prepare yourself for poverty. He didn't say, oh good, you're going to get rich tomorrow. This isn't the gospel of prosperity. This is the gospel of struggle. This is the gospel of sacrifice. You have some money, you join the Muslims, you're not an investment plan. You know, oh, you're coming in with 10 million, you're going to leave with 100 million. You're going to leave like Khadija left, radiallahu anha. You're going to leave like those Sahaba who sacrificed their money, like they left. You might come in with 10 million, you leave with $10 in this world, but the ajr that you have with Allah. The ajr you have with Allah is immeasurable. That's what it's all about. So the hardship, the difficulty, the good, the bad, and the ugly in this world, as we said, for the believer, it's all good. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ مُؤْمِنٍ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. The believer's affair, all of it is good. Why? Because it's helping us and preparing us and allowing us the privilege to pay the price for Jannah. And the price for Jannah is not an easy price. It's not an easy price. It's expensive because it's precious. It's expensive, but it's sweet. And the struggle is sweet. It has sweetness. It's not bitter. It doesn't leave us depressed. It leaves us energized. It leaves us invigorated. It leaves us uplifted. It leaves us empowered. And so this is what it's all about. So as we have the difficulty, as it was mentioned, the marriage, just be patient. And أَصَابَتْهُ دَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If some difficulty befalls a person, they patiently endure. Patiently endure. And that's best for them. Never despair, brothers and sisters. Never despair. This trials we're going through, well, I mean, in reality, what trial are we going through in America? What trial are we going through? Well, the people, they're talking about us. And then there's a lot of people saying great things about Muslims, like John Stewart. Right? I was in San Francisco when I got the call. Like, can you be in Berkeley at 8 o'clock? How about 8:30? Anyway, I was having dinner with the founder of Saffron Roads, Halal Frozen Foods, available at Whole Foods, right up the street. And then he started Stonyfield Farm Yogurt, organic yogurt, sold it to Dannon, and started this fast food, halal organic meals. In any case, when Whole Food picked them up, some of you know about this, he was attacked by the usual cast of characters, the Pam Geller and all these bloggers. That's an appropriate word for them too, bloggers. Right, and ism yadul ala al-musanna. A name indicates the name. They're a blogger. So in any case, these cats, they attacked them, and it was real nasty. And the Whole Foods supported them. They got all these actors in Hollywood. There was a huge campaign, non-Muslims, and they beat these people back, and their sales skyrocketed. It was free advertising and free publicity, and there were far more voices in support of them than there were against them. So don't think it's all bad. The point is, you know, even if what, so what? Would you rather be in America and you turn on the radio and Rush Limbaugh is talking about you? Or you'd rather be in Syria where some sadistic goons are kicking down your door, pulling your teenage brother out, and you get him back 2 or 3 weeks later in a box with limbs amputated? I mean, that's a trial. Or in Palestine, where you don't know when the next political event is going to precipitate a bombardment of your town or village for political gamesmanship. Or Iran, where you don't break any law and you're a nuclear scientist and you get blown to smithereens for abiding by every international atomic protocol. Those are trials, brothers and sisters. There's nothing here. People here are depressed. Some people are leaving Islam. For what? For what? Ask yourself, for what? And I hope when you're not anyone here, the hypothetical you, I hope when the hypothetical you out there, sitting in that empty chair, I hope when you ask yourself, you have a good answer. Because Yomul Qiyamah, when Allah asks you, you better have a good answer. It's like, I never really thought about it. Why did you leave Islam? Why did you stop praying? I was kind of depressed, and I just got sick of everyone looking at me funny. I couldn't take that look. You know, the look. Some people have been dealing with the look for 400 years. That's what Cornel West was here, right, a few weeks ago. He likes to say, you know, after 9/11, a lot of people got niggerized and couldn't deal with it. You know, some people have been dealing with it for 400 years. So, brothers and sisters, count your blessings. Look at the good that you have. Anything you think is bad, just patiently persevere. It's going to get better. Sooner or later, it's going to rain here, inshallah. If it doesn't rain soon, we should all go do the rain prayer. Let's go pray Salatul Istisqa. Seriously. Then if it rains a few days later, it'd be great da'wah. You want to do something positive, right? This is Turkey, the first thing Erdogan did. He was the mayor of Istanbul before he was president, prime minister. When he got elected in, before he took office, he won the election in the lame duck period for the previous mayor. There was a terrible drought in Istanbul. I think it was 1994-95. There's some Turkish people here who bear witness. They can't get a witness. That means you raise your hand from Istanbul. And anyway, can I get a witness? Anyway, so he said, so they're asking him, these secularists, you know, what are you going to do about the drought? There's a big policy issue. They had to truck water in from other parts of the country. They couldn't clean the streets. The city was filthy and dirty. So I asked, what are you going to do about the drought? He said, we're going to pray. They ridiculed him. They ridiculed him. Oh, he's going to pray. See, these Muslims, they think they just come in prayer. This is a modern country. It takes policies and strategies and this and that and organizing bureaucracy. He's going to pray. He got in office. One of the first things they did, they went out and they prayed the rain prayer. It said it poured continuously for 6 days in a row.
SubhanAllah.
And the drought broke.
SubhanAllah.
That was a sign of things to come. Inshallah. So we go pray the drought prayer. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will send the rain. We have all the MSA, MSA West, MSA East, the local masajid communities. We go somewhere and pray the rain prayer. Inshallah, Allah will send the rain. But sooner or later, it's going to rain. Sooner or later, if you're struggling with something, you'll overcome it. You were sick. I was sick. I don't say that to make a point. But I'm better now. Not 100%. But sooner or later, I'll be 100%, inshallah ta'ala. You don't stay sick forever. And if you've been sick, you've been sick forever. You don't stay down forever. Sooner or later, you'll be up. So it's going to get better, inshallah ta'ala. And if it's good, there are going to be trials and tribulations. You know, it's not going to be pre-9/11 forever for Muslims in America. There's going to be trials, tribulations, and difficulties. The thing for us is to persevere with our dignity. The thing for us to do is to maintain the prophetic virtue, the prophetic character, and not to despair of mercy from Allah. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Only a disbelieving people despair of Allah's mercy. That's why we know it's going to get better, because Allah Ta'ala is merciful. And that's what gives us joy in this world, is the mercy of Allah. There are trials, there's tribulations, there's so-called Islamophobia. I don't like that term personally. I just like, you know, this old-fashioned American racism. being visited on a new group of largely brown-skinned people. So, I mean, that's how I see it. But in any case, if you persevere, Allah Ta'ala says, these things happen. These things happen. Allah mentions in the Quran, we'll stop here, probably the time is up. لَتُبْلَغُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ أَنفُسِكُمْ لَتُبْلَغُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. That's the bad, right? You're going to be tested in your wealth and your lives. And you're going to hear, وَلَتَسْمِعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, from those given the scripture before you, some of the Jews, some of the Christians, and some of the idolaters. This is what you have now. It's not all of them. But right now, what's the emerging geostrategic anti-Muslim axis?
Yeah.
America?
Yeah.
That's the Christians.
Mm-hmm. Israel.
Huh? Israel? That's the Jews. And?
China.
India. China. India. Right? And so not all Christians, not all Jews, not all Hindus. Those are the idolaters. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Much abuse. Much abuse. Look at the comments. Where are they coming from? A Muslim does something positive, there's 5 million negative comments. Totally unrelated to whatever happened. You know, Muslim rescues cat from tree. You know, see a guy with a big beard, little kitty cat. And the comments, Muslims beat their wives. Like 5,000 comments, totally unrelated to the guy who rescued the cat. You can't even rescue a cat from a tree. And you look at where they're coming from. من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الذين أشركوا. You see more and more of these Hindu nationalists. And again, some, not all, some people, there might be some Hindu guests, Jewish Christian guests. Some, not all, not most, but some. Much abuse, and then kathira. And so what does Allah say to do? Despair? Run away? Deny Islam? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا, if you patiently persevere, وَتَتَّقُوا, and remain mindful of Allah, of the commandments and prohibitions, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, this is from resolve and firmness in one's affair. So that's the path for us. Whether it's good or bad, persevere. Whether it's good or bad, be mindful of Allah. أَقِلَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ, be mindful of Allah wherever you are. Whether it's good or bad, maintain in this. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, this is the way of أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. أُولُو الْعَزْمِ, فَصْبِرْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ كَمَا صَبْرُ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, as those great prophets of firm resolve persevered and patiently endured before you. This is our way, brothers and sisters. May Allah bless us to hold the banner of faith in a world that's rapidly abandoning faith, real faith. May Allah bless us to maintain human dignity in a world that's abandoning human dignity. Look how dignified these sisters are. MashaAllah. A lot of my recent travels, I was visiting family. They're complaining about the way the girls dress. They're non-Muslim people. This is out of control. Because the exploitation, the dehumanizing, the undignified behavior. And I don't want to repeat what I mentioned at Juma in terms of just what people are on television, how people are being encouraged to act. Hold on to your dignity. Hold on to the prophetic standards and virtues and values and mores in this world. If you can do that, you've done something great. And believe me, you're going to be a source of inspiration for a lot of people. Because a lot of people are giving up. They don't think you can push back. They don't think you can fight back. And the advantage that Muslims have, we have community. We're not isolated individuals. We have a community. And may Allah bless that community to be a community of virtue, a community of seriousness, a community of service, a community of dignity, a community of principles and values, a community that's not ashamed of modesty, not ashamed of decency, not ashamed of morals, not ashamed of virginity, not ashamed of human basic human worth. May Allah bless us to be a community. And if we can do that, we'll be a light for this world, inshallah, and a source of hope for a lot of people.